incorporate this announcement here. I don't know how many of you know about John Babbitt, but you heard about it. You come to train out the early days and preach. One of the brothers who travel and help spread the message in many countries through tapes and books and even travel and preach as well. He used to live up in the Yukon in Canada. And there's an email here this evening. This letter is to let you know that our dear brother John Babbitt has gone to meet the Lord. Lord called him home on October the 31st, 2003, where he was in the pulpit. He was on the mission field in Romania, but Ted Rossetti. And apparently he died while he was in the pulpit. And Romania is 6 hours ahead of us, so that means that happened earlier today. I think many of the older saints will know this brother. He has been here in the island quite a few times in the old days. And he was out in the mission field. And what a way to go for a brother who's a missionary who spent a lot of his life in his church supporting mission work, especially out in Africa, where they help many, many churches with tape libraries and song equipment and many things that to help spread the message by the grace of God. We certainly would like to remember when we go to the Lord in prayer in this family that he's left behind, and give God thanks for his gallant and noble life and his labors. The Bible says his labors do follow him, and I'm sure that for one who was a missionary, you know, he certainly knew that if he was going, that's the best way to go. Go out into the service of the Lord. Amen. Don't go good men, fighting men, you like to die with the boots on. So what a way to go while we're in the pulpit by the grace of God. Let us bow our heads, close our eyes tonight as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. This great God who has come down this day, call us by this message. Right in this very island in the early days, when the message was now springing up, there was one of the brothers who would pass through here and preach the gospel. Our gracious Lord Jesus, we stand in your great august presence this evening, giving you praise and giving you thanks, Father, for the grace that you have given unto us to walk in this marvelous light. We have come into your house this evening, singing our praise and sending it up before you as a sacrifice, a sweet smelling savor. Singing, Lord, with joyful hearts, as the redeemed can, because we have been called out of darkness. We were not a people. We've been called out of darkness to walk in this marvelous light, to become the people of God, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, and a holy nation. Father, coming in this evening and hearing this news of our brother John Babbitt, a servant of yours, one whom yet God had a burden for the mission field. And in many countries across the face of the earth, leaving that little church up in the Yukon and traveling across the face of the earth, out into the dark jungles of Africa, Lord, in different places where he knew that there was a need and where they could have offered assistance. We thank you, Lord, for his labor of love. We thank you for his great sacrifice on behalf of the bride of Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear God, for came his way to recognize that this was your visitation in the last days. Dear God, knowing that him to be one who had a great burden, and even when we travel across the seas many times, we met people, Lord, who was assisted by him and that little group. His earthly journey came to end today. The time allotted, Lord, knowing that to each and every one of us there's a time allotted. Lord, hearing that he died while he was standing there in the pulpit preaching in Romania, and knowing, dear God, the condition of that country, the great battles that it took, Lord, to free the people from under that system, where you let us minister there as well. Lord, knowing that the church have struggled and still struggling tonight to really rise up and become a strong church. And no doubt, knowing the need, our brother, Lord God, accepted the invitation to go there. That he can put his shoulder to the wheel to help the body of believers. You saw it fit, Lord, to cause him to close the last chapter of the book of his life, standing in the pulpit ministering the message of the hour. No doubt his wife and family in the church, hearing the news, Lord, is saddened, maybe because of the suddenness in which it would have come to them. Coming to them in a way that maybe they did not expect it to come. And so, dear God, if they have been affected in some way, dear God, that they might be shaken in mind and troubled in spirit, we pray that your Holy Spirit will bring such a calming influence upon the family and the church, Lord. They'll be stabilized and that they will be reassured, knowing, Father, the servant of God, who they know to be very faithful, Lord, was standing there even to the end, proclaiming the message, which is very exemplary of his life and devotion to this message. We pray, dear God, that the Holy Spirit will be with Brother Ted Boselli there, who traveled with him to minister, Lord, knowing him also to be another faithful brother. Yeah, God, having to travel back and all the arrangements with the airlines and how complicated these things can be at times. Take the body of our brother and his friend and companion back to his homeland and back to the family and church. May your Holy Spirit remove every obstacle and make the way smooth for them, Father. We pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will give such encouragement and lift the spirits of your people, Lord. We thank you, Father, for a gallant soldier. Knowing, O God, in little Ireland in the early days when the mess was now springing up, come to from time to time, making a circuit, dear God, passing this way, preaching in the measure that you have given unto him to edify and to encourage your people. It is written in the Bible that the labors of the faithful do follow them. We pray, dear God, that you will comfort and encourage and uplift, bring such a deep, settled peace to all that is connected with him, Father. We give you thanks, Lord, once again for his noble life, Father, standing for this great message he was called to carry. We know when that trumpet sound,
Lord God, is the caliber of those who will rise in the resurrection. It is written that the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. We know the days are running out in great swiftness. Many, Lord God, no doubt will go that same route before you put in your appearance to take your people off the face of the earth. But dear God, until then, may you help us to be faithful. May you help us, dear God, in spite of the obstacles and in spite of the challenges. Lord, to take courage when you see brothers who would go that way. Rise and be determined. Finish our course with joy. Thinking of the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. And we know that there's a crown of righteousness that awaits us when the Lord will appear. Bless our gathering tonight. May your presence move among us. May the Holy Spirit speak to every heart that will be here tonight, Father. That we can be strengthened, Lord. The days are dark, Father. Evil is on a rampage. We see sin abounding everywhere. Gross darkness enveloping and swallowing up the whole earth and the peoples. But remember, you said, rise and shine because our light has come. As we walk with each precious day, that light becomes much more precious to us, Father. Lighten our path unto that perfect day. May, as we sit in your presence tonight, the day dawn around us, that day shall rise in our hearts, knowing that we have not followed cunning devised fables, but we have the word of prophecy made more sure to us. That vindicated word, that absolute Lord, we tie our soul to this dark hour. Take full charge, Lord, of this service tonight. Take every need of your children under consideration. Whatsoever they have upon their hearts, standing in your presence, while prayer is being offered unto you, may the Holy Spirit look down. May you minister and send down your blessing abundantly into every heart. Grant it, dear God. Remember those that are not here tonight. Be with them, Father, wherever they are. May the church of the living God wax that much more closer as we see that they're approaching. Grant it, Lord. We give you praise and thanks for all things. We believe and we ask these mercies in the precious and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your honor and your glory. Amen. Amen. God should bless you. If you have your Bible, you can turn it open. We're going to have a little tape tonight. Speak this, and I spoke this in St. Vincent, and I just thought it might be good. Many times we pray when we go to the field, and we certainly would like to help you get acquainted with all that is happening and get a chance to look into the churches. Yes, we visit how they are doing by the grace of God, and we continue to pray. We showed you some of the footage that we had on film and some of the pictures that we took on the trip, and I'm going to just show you a little part of this tonight by the grace of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, for a little reading. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses is the same. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. That's what we are, soldiers, enduring hardness, soldiers engaged in battle, warring. That's why he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what we are trying to do, commit these things to men. As we go out there in the islands, we find people coming out from denominations. We find people looking and seeking more truth. We find people on the outside of organization looking to God to do something for them, where they become disillusioned with the system. Like those that we show you, some of them in the islands that we met there, and some that we have even waiting for us in Barbados that we'll be going to Thursday. But to show you these things, as Paul and even the messenger of the age who had brought the message, that foundation revelation, and was given it to Timothy that he can keep spreading that message unto many. And know it was a great warfare, because Paul himself knew how much opposition he faced to bring the message that he brought. The same way the prophet says, who will draw the sword and stand with me? I stand in a hard place. He was rejected by every organization. He was put out. He had to stand alone in the end. And he was calling for men who would stand. And here we are trying to stand down through these years, hearing that cry from a prophet, seeing the need in this hour, seeing the darkness that has enveloped the earth. And if a man also strive for masteries, that is like athletes who run for a crown, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Man who run in a race must understand the race. He must know if he's a long distance runner, he must know how to prepare for that type of race. If he's a sprinter, he must know how to run that type of race. If he's a high jumper, he must know how to do that. And a man who is not just in athletics, but a man who wants to make his mark, he must know what is the record. What is a man going running, don't know, he's 100 meters running, he doesn't know what the 100 meters record. And he rejoices in running at 11 something and saying he's a great runner. And a man say, he laughs at him and say, you don't know, is 970 something is the record, 979? That's the fastest time in the world. To really make your mark, you have to run below that. You have to improve on that time. And so if he's going to train, he's going to train knowing what the time is. When we see the mark, sin means to what? Miss the mark. And there's a mark of the high calling. There's a mark that the prophet, ladies, if you're not in a Methodist age, you're not in a Pentecostal age, we're in a bride age. This is the age of the grain. This is the age of when sun's coming to full manifestation. What is the use trying to be just a church member in this age when God is talking about an adopted son and daughter? You'll be going to church without a conscience what the mark is in this age. You'll just be a mediocre believer. You'll just be another person piling a church, going to a church service. But when you know this is the hour for mature sons forming the image of the world, Jehovah's masterpiece, you're striving for that. Outside of that, you're just a Christian going through the tribulation. But when the rapture, it has to be one who is forming the image of the world. It has to be one that is adopted and placed positionally. It has to be one that has those seven virtues that has grew to maturity from a baby to a child to a man. That God can say, this is my beloved son and my beloved daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. So tonight, if you forget that, you're just kind of going to, then you're not striving for the mastery. You are striving for the mastery in the age of adoption. Amen. To him that overcometh in this adoption age. You're striving for that mark. The farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Where is a man is a farmer and he don't get a crop in the end. Every year he plants and every year he has no crop. And every year he plants and every year he has no crop. Would you a man preaching and living and then to have a people in the end mature to present to Jesus Christ that brought forth fruit unto perfection? He wasted his time. He was just a denominational minister going through the motions for a meal ticket or something. But if he went forth being precious seed, he will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, the mature grain with him. Amen. See, this is what he's teaching here. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what I say. He says, you know, he's speaking of revelation. Consider what I say. Why? They had seen the Son of Man. They had seen Jesus. A man could walk on the water, speak to the storm. They hadn't seen that kind of man for 4,000 years. Since the first Adam, they saw that man. We didn't see a man like we saw in this generation. Could say, if you sit to this mountain for 2,000 years at the end of the church age, first time we saw one. So we know what kind of age we are in. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's the message, friends. That's what is happening here. That's what we're striving for here. Other than that, we just have another denominational church. We might say we are denominational, but we'll be that if we don't strive for this. The day we lose sight of that mark, we came out of Egypt and forget what we call unto. We call to come into Canaan and be placed positionally with all things under your feet. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Why did he raise? For our justification. Why did he raise? As our first fruit, that there's a whole crop coming after him. He says, so remember my gospel, Jesus rose. He was the first corn of wheat up from the grave. Is that right? For which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bond, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. Because he knows there's an elected church, he says, I endure all things. Because he knows this is the purpose of my life. And there's a people and the message that's committed to my trust that I'm preaching going to bring up and catch those in the end time. Like Brother Abraham knew when he saw that worldly church, he said, oh God, is this my labor? When he sat in the USA church, but when the Holy Spirit said, no, the bride is going to come into view. And when he saw her, he knew he was laboring for something. He wasn't just out there preaching, friend. He wasn't just out there trying to have something like all of us and Billy Graham. You went out, I don't want to catch that little fish. I want to catch that rainbow trout in the water. And the angel said, I will teach you how to catch them. He knew under his message, he was going to get elect. And that's what we are looking for. That's why we go there with 4 and 5. We stand there and preach. Amen. We go back and forth. Why? We are looking for the elect to catch those that are laying there ordained to receive this word in this hour. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. They may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The Lord bless you, which will never see. So, this was a message that was spoken there. I thought it would be good for the church because I have something I would like to speak coming up behind. Not tonight, I mean, but a couple of messages. And that would sort of kind of bring you to remembrance of some of those things by God's grace. Deaconesses at the door, ushering people, they're leading songs, they come to preach, and all the men sit down so. And they'll argue and fight to uphold that thing because they just enjoy just coming and sit on the back and don't be involved in nothing in the house of God and let the woman run everything.
Yes.
They do that in God's house and do that in their own house too.
Yes.
They call them moms today, some of them men.
They still want to mind the children, and the wife working outside there, bringing a good salary. You know, she's taking care of everything, and he takes care of the baby, and, you know, he puts the bottle in the baby mouth, and he learns to mix the tea, and, you know, he cleans up the house while she goes there and work. Because today, you see more women being educated and everything, taking better jobs, making more money, and then in the woman's world today, she's given prominence. Amen. Everything. Now she's in politics, she's in the church, she's everything, she's in full control. Yes. And so, times have changed. But the Bible says, I'm God and I change not. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
Now, this is a great lesson. And as we look at it and we try to break it down, these are some things that you know, but to help establish you further in these things and to help try to make it plain in a way where you can have confidence in what the Bible teaches. Sometimes, you know, you've been taught a certain way in your church, and then, you know, you're in the organization there and you respect that man. He comes out of the Bible school, he has a certificate, he's a big organization there, a lot of people believe the same like him, so you just kind of have confidence. You kind of hear it on the radio, you kind of hear it on the TV, so it's popular. And then you figure it has to be right. And then somehow you get confronted with scriptures. And then you realize the Bible says, let every man word be a lie, but let God word be the truth.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
So then sometimes it puts you in a spot. My goodness, what am I going to do? My church of 2,000 people believe that. My church with 50 ministers and 20 branches believe that. You know, our church headquarters in the United States of America believes that. What am I going to do? Well, if I'm a believer and I'm part of God, I have to be part of the Word, because God is the Word. And then I can't deny the Word if I'm part of the Word. Amen. How many know Paul in the Bible, when the truth struck him, he couldn't believe that the church was right. They were having church in the house, and these people had the big synagogues. They were having the big rabbis with all the phylacteries and everything else, making the long prayers, you know, the politicians and all the different people, county councillors, whatever they call them in those days, the Sanhedrin. They would come to the service, and, you know, it would be a great big show. And, you know, politics was mixed up with the religion and everything else, and they couldn't believe that those little people who come out of the organization and was gathering the houses, talking about some prophet of Galilee who had come and who could discern the hearts of the people, who do great signs and wonders, they couldn't believe that that was the truth. So it kind of bothered him, and Paul himself, he couldn't accept that. What kind of religion is that? Man, to be a rabbi, you have to be a real priest, you have to be in the tribe of Levi. To be a teacher, you have to be such a man, educated, and go to the seminary and learn all the teaching. How could God pick up a fisherman, a tax collector, a publican, and, you know, they're preaching, and some of the congregation was harlots, and, you know, all kind of different things there. What kind of church is that? They couldn't believe that kind of church. It looked strange in their eyes.
Amen.
But how many know that was a church?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then Paul himself said, the way that is called heresy, so do I worship the God of my fathers.
Amen.
So here, as we look in the scripture, and we see now he's teaching. And this man who persecuted the church, he became the wise master builder. Did you know that?
Amen.
That no other foundation could be laid than that which he laid.
Amen.
That if an angel come from heaven and teach anything different than what he taught, he said, let him be accursed.
Amen.
How many of you read that in the Bible?
Right.
In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6 and 9. That's right.
Amen.
So here he's teaching something, and he's teaching this out of Genesis. Because when he gives his reason, his scriptural references is Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. And so he's showing there is a scriptural reason that God had in his mind to give the woman a specific role. And that when she comes out of her domain and enters into the domain of another, she becomes perverted.
Amen.
You know, the way you see women, I don't mean this in the wrong way. It's just that some good people are not taught. That's all it is. Good people misled. Jesus says sometimes they're blind, they all fall in the ditch. That's why I'd like to go to a church where you can be taught the word, can be taught the scriptures. Your faith will not stand in the wisdom of man, but your faith would stand in the infallible word of Almighty God, that heaven will pass through, that word cannot pass away. And so you realize that, you know, you see them today. A woman, you know, she cuts her hair, she paints her face, she puts on a man garment, and she goes, you know, into the domain of a man, and she's working, she's driving a tractor outside there, and she's plowing the field, she's driving a maxi taxi on the road there, and you know, her children, maybe in a daycare center or something. And you know, it seems difficult because the poor lady, you know, she loves maybe her children, and she's trying to give them a good living, and she's doing this, and she's working hard, and she's seen, I'm trying my best, I'm going to work hard, there's no shame in the woods and everything else. But what is happening, she gets out there, and she gets in the wrong environment, and so she's not in the atmosphere that it needs to raise her children. But she don't know that. And then she goes to her church, and they look at the offering. Well, then what's going to happen? Well, they just glad from they just want membership. But much membership means much money. So they're not interested in the souls of the people to tell them, sister dear, I think you should try to find something a little different. Maybe it's best to obey God's word and be contented with a little, and God will see your faithfulness, and God will be able to provide the supply of needs. Rather than think that you have to take it into your own hands and try to see about it because God is not interested. That's wrong. The Bible says, you know, he's interested. He shall supply all our needs. He desires obedience rather than sacrifice. Is that right?
Amen.
God wants obedience to the word.
Amen.
That's what he wants.
Amen.
And then God wants us to come to an understanding of why he made us the way he made us. And what purpose he has made us for. And how best we can serve his purpose by understanding what he has made us. That we can function in the capacity in which he has called us to function in.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Well, that's how it is. So as we look here, it seems that there was this problem in the church. And maybe, you know, Paul is a minister to the Gentiles, you know that. So they didn't maybe was studying Jewish law and all the things of the Jews back there. They hear the gospel, they was touched, they see a miracle, they come in the church, they baptize, and they start walking it like a lot of people. Sometimes, you know, they get a little assistance, so they decide to come to church for a little assistance. Some people, you know, they get healed, so they decide to come to church there. And after a while, they're in a church, but they don't know what they believe, and they don't know what the church believes.
Amen.
See? Because they are there by the persuasion of someone. So, here it seems that people was getting out of order, because he will not write that and teach that if there was not something that the church needed to understand about the place. And since the church is not the world, because the world is the world, and the church is the church.
Amen.
You know, this can make an embassy. We are ambassadors, and this can make an embassy in this world.
Yeah.
You know, an embassy of Russia in this country, but at the time you step into that embassy, you're on Russian soil.
Yes, sir.
You could be in St. Vincent, but you're in Russia.
Yes,
because they have jurisdiction inside of there.
Yeah.
See? You go into the embassy of China. When you step into you in China, they tell you what is the procedure there.
Yeah, right.
See? And so that's how I understand with governments of the world. They have that immunity from things. That's why their people can run into that embassy for refuge, and they're right there, they can be safe. And so, when we are here, the world, people may do things in the world, a man may smoke in the world, carry on, do different things, then you're going to come through that door. Say, hey, put away that cigarette. You're not going to smoke inside here. Wait till here. Because here, we have jurisdiction here.
Amen.
It's the house of God. It's the pillar and ground of truth.
Amen.
It's where we gathered for God to come down and meet us, went to a tree, I gathered my name, there you are in the midst.
Amen.
That's right. And if a person tries to come in and disrespect the house of God, they violate the principles upon which that house is built.
Yes.
I can't walk in your house and go in your fridge and you invite me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I can't walk in your house and rearrange your furniture. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I have to get permission from you.
Yes.
Even though I think you're not educated like me. Even though I think you don't have money like me. Even though I think you're not strong like me. Even though I think you don't travel like me. That means nothing. In that house, you are the boss.
Yes,
and I have to respect that and humble myself and commit submission.
Yes, amen.
And I must further, before I can even sit there and understand what goes on there, I must understand the principles by which that is run.
Yes, sir.
But you know, some people in America, you know, people in America, you don't jaywalk and walk across the street. They lock you up for that.
Yes,
there are special places to cross if you want to cross.
Yes, amen.
And sometimes, you know, like a lot of people, Latin America, Caribbean people, they go up to America, they go up there, and they're up here, they take all the sneakers and they throw it up on the telephone, and they wire and everything else, the electrical pole, and they do all kind of things, and they write graffiti in different places. You have certain places, you do that, but there should people go in different places with their habits.
Yeah.
because they felt like they are crossing one boundary into another boundary.
Amen.
And that's why I want to be conscious and sensitive that when we gather here by the grace of God, we are in the house of God.
Amen.
But in the same way in Israel, when they had the tabernacle and the people would go in here and they'd be reverent before God and there'd be anticipation and the harpies go in there and come up. And that same type of atmosphere and setting, it is not different. If that was under law and we are under grace, and that was a substitute, and this is the reality, we are even gone higher than that.
Amen.
Because they were doing it by a ritual, we are doing this thing by a spiritual revealed truth that comes from Almighty God. Is that right? That we are better tabernacle. Amen. The blood that cleanses is a better blood than the animal blood. The priest here is a better priest because it comes from Christ, whereas those priests come from Aaron, an earthly man. That's right. So sometimes a person may go to Israel and see the big tabernacle there or the big temple and say, boy, and they come under the house and they feel like, I get under the house, I can do what I want. No, you should have come. You should have come. Then the flesh, they don't understand. But when we gather, you know, we open this word, friends, and the Holy Spirit comes among us. That's no different than when Jesus was sitting in the mountain. He's among his disciples. The presence of God is here. The power of God is here to heal, to save, to deliver, to teach, to reveal His word. Whatever the church of the living God has need of. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
But look what churches have become today. And that's why we are grateful. We have a place that we can call our home church. We have a place we can come and gather to worship together. And then the word sets things in order.
Amen.
The word sets things in order. Because God don't work in disorder. God don't work in chaos. If there's not order, there's disorder.
Amen.
You can't have order and disorder at the same time. It's impossible. You can't be drunk and sober. You can't be going east and west at the same time. You can't be light and darkness at the same time. It's impossible.
Amen.
And if there's order, then we are all called to be in submission. So Paul is teaching us here because something's going on. He says, let them learn in silence with all subjection. Now, then he goes in to say, to the reasons. And the reason is that Adam was first. Him coming first meant something. Her coming after meant something. Because she didn't come the way he came. She came as a byproduct. God took part of the man to make the woman. God is not good that the man should be alone. But when God made the rest of the creation, he made male and female, male and female, male and female. They were male and female in spirit form. But physically, there was no woman expressed there. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's right. He put the man to sleep to take the woman out.
Yeah.
And when he took her out, how many know that she was made different to every other female? Because when God make a male lion, a female lion. Is God make a male bull, a female cow. God make a male horse, make a female mare.
Yeah.
God make a male bull elephant, make a female cow elephant. And he made them male and female. All the creation was male and female. But when he made man, man stood there by himself.
Yeah.
And he said, not good that the man should be alone. And he put the man to sleep. And he takes a rib out. And you know why he takes a rib out? Because he's going to build a bride and she's going to serve a certain purpose. And catch this here. He takes a rib. He didn't take from her feet. He didn't take from his head. If he take from his head, she might not want to rule him. God didn't want that. That will upset his plan. The church can't tell Christ what to do. Because it's a mystery of Christ in the church. God can't take from his feet because he might just trample over and make her a slave. And God want a better position for that, for her. That will honor the man. She must be strong. The church is the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. A virtuous woman is the crown of her husband. You may not see the husband walking around with a crown on his head. You may not see the crown. But the way that woman carry herself, that man is a king. Amen. And when you look at that man, you know what he has behind him. You see, now this is what God intended to be.
That's
right. So catch this here. Now, lack of knowing these things is where we come to church. We go to church, we wear church clothes, we have church book, we sing church song, we dance church dance, but we don't have the understanding of the Bible. So we go and we live anyhow afterwards. But when the word comes in the heart, then you go beyond the church. Because this is just geography now. What I was speaking just now is the atmosphere, the order of the word, not the building.
Amen.
You can be in this building, you just in Belmont.
That's right.
And if you live a certain part of St. Vincent, and you leave that part and you come to Belmont. You move from one geographic location to another geographic location. But when you come here, you could come here and your mind could still be where you live or where you work or what you have to do after church. But when your soul is caught up in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus and you come under the influence of the Word, you get into a realm where there's faith and power. Amen. You get where you're in the presence of Almighty God. Is that right? And that's why you don't ever come through the door and go back out the same.
Amen.
Amen. So God took from the man's side a rib. How many know why God took a rib? But if you know anything about God at all, when he does something, whatever he does, he's the fountain of all wisdom. He does something so he can let himself be made known. You catch that? You will not know if you don't act, if God's hands all that. You'll never know what he is. But when he does something, you can see how he does it. Is that right? He is revealing his works. Like today they have great art dealers, and you have Picasso and Raphael and Van Gogh and Michelangelo, all the great artists that paint great things and pictures sell for millions and millions of dollars. And sometimes these people who expert in examining the authenticity of a picture, they can look at it and say, this is not a Van Gogh. Van Gogh does that kind of colors. His brush marks are different. And the way the shadows fall in the picture, that's not a Van Gogh. Somebody just marked Van Gogh on some cheap thing that somebody drew. A person can look at Raphael paintings and they know his styles, the way he draws his characters, the way he features them, the way he emphasizes certain things in the painting. Well, so it is. The artist is revealing his work until people who examine the work of the artist can see the characteristic of the artist. So every time when his work appears, even though his name is not there, they can recognize that's him.
Yes.
Well, when God does something, you can recognize that's God.
Amen.
See? Now, the thing that people can't tell the difference between God and man. That's why they try to make Jesus a man. Oh, you're from Nazareth, your father and your mother is here with us, and your brother and sister is here with us. And that's why they didn't believe him. They said, man, you're born with fornication, you're going to teach us? See, they couldn't understand the difference between God and man. Even Philip is only sad and said, Lord, trust the Father. It suffices us. He said, so long I've been here, don't know me? You have to know that by revelation, friends. They're not church now. This is the Word. When it's quickened to you, when it's revealed to you, that's where the power of God comes into your life.
Amen.
So watch. So God now, in bringing out the woman, he made her different to every other species. Because you know, in the animal kingdom, the animal only have sex for reproduction. Animals can have sex for pleasure. The male bull go to the female cow and make young. The male dog go to the female dog and make young. They can have sex for pleasure. They have sex for reproduction. They have a season to mate, and they come in the mating season and they produce the young ones. But the woman is made without season. And in the animal kingdom, God made the man more beautiful than the woman. Or the male, rather, more beautiful than the woman. You say, is that so? But the male lion with a big mane, and the female lion is just ordinary to him. Watch the male deer with the big horns, and the female deer is ordinary to him. Watch the rooster in your yard, your little game cock in your yard. Watch him with all the big spur and the comb and everything else, and the female is ordinary to him. Watch the peacock.
That's right.
How beautiful is all the feathers, and the female is ordinary to him. Is that right?
Amen.
But when God made the woman, he made her more beautiful than the man. And she was made where she didn't have no season. Now catch this now. We got a woman types the church. And you'll understand why God called these churches the great whore who is the mother of harlots. Why he called Catholic and Protestant, why he called the organizational world prostitute churches. You'll understand why.
Amen.
Because I'll show you, they want to teach and usurp authority, but they deceive in childbearing. They can't bring forth the right kind of child. They're bringing forth one singing dub in the church. They're bringing forth one bailing in his underwear by the standpipe. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're bringing forth a woman outside here in the world, but above here, paying for everything, and she's preaching so tight that she's underwear showing in the platform while she's trying to speak in tongues. They cannot bring for a child like Jesus Christ. Yet they're religious, but they can't take correction from the word.
Amen.
I'll show you in the Bible women that bring forth children that couldn't take direction from the word. Women that bring forth children that fight the truth.
Yes, amen.
Women that bring forth children that brother just want to worship regardless of whether they have truth or not.
Amen.
I'll show that in the Bible.
Yes, amen.
If you remember, God tell Cain, in vain you worship me, I can't receive, I have no respect to it. Remember when Jesus came and tell the Sadducees, in vain you worship me. Is that right?
Amen.
They have come out of church wombs. Church denominational children. Illegitimate children. Your birth is important.
Amen.
What you are born by. How many knows that?
Amen.
That's right. Birth have to do with inheritance.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Sarah was so understanding with that. She tell Abraham, you cast out this born woman and that child out of this house because that child ain't going to be heir with my child.
Amen.
When you die, that all this property ain't going for that child, you know.
Amen.
I is the married wife. She's a concubine.
Amen.
So get this thing straight.
Hallelujah.
See, that's the Bible, huh?
Amen.
Childbearing, childbearing. Sarah be a child and Hagar be a child.
Amen.
Hagar child is a wild man.
Yes.
He persecuted and fight Sarah child. And Paul says Sarah and Hagar represent two covenants. One represents earthly Jerusalem in bondage. One represents heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
So childbearing is important. And child raising is important. Today, if you want only bearing child, then put up for adoption, end up in an orphanage, end up as three children. Why? They bear it, but they don't know how to raise it.
Amen, amen.
They bear it, but they don't know how to raise it.
That's right.
So it's not making membership. It's the people being planted by the word, trained and raised up in the scripture,
amen,
where they're obedient to the will of the Father.
Amen.
Oh man, I hope you don't preach too.
Oh,
is that a little strong for you?
Oh.
Otherwise I'd say, where's the church we started? Is it this one?
Jesus.
People look for power today, but they think power will fall on flesh. They think power will fall on all kind of wild business. You know, you're going to grow word upon word upon word and become into the full stature of Jesus Christ. The God can say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. So here Paul is contrasting learning with teaching, subjection to human authority, being deceived, which shall be saved. She was, the woman being deceived was in the transgression, but she shall be saved in childbearing.
Amen.
See? Learning with subjection. Learning with teaching, rather. Subjection with human authority and being deceived with childbearing. Watch the spirit today in these last days that we're living and watch the deception that comes. How many ever read the book of Proverbs? If you read the book of Proverbs, it tells about every kind of woman that there is.
Amen.
How many of the last woman the book of Proverbs talk about? Who could find a virtuous woman? But it starts with an adulterous woman, a whorish woman, a brawling woman, a contentious woman, a vain woman, and it goes down every different kind of woman. And then he said, who could find a virtuous woman? Because the world is filled with all the kind of women. The world is filled with, in other words, all kind of denomination, all kind of, but where is Christ going to find a bride? The marriage of the Lamb has come. Where is Christ going to find a virtuous bride? Who you will have no fear of spoil. She'll be faithful to him. She'll have no eyes for no other. She'll worship him and him only. She'll love him with all her heart, all her soul, all her mind, all her strength. She'll be satisfied with Jesus and no one Jesus plus. Is that right?
Amen.
Because even the message, we have the spirit of idolatry in the message. And brother was showing me a picture of some people bowing down at the prophet tomb, kind of people worshiping. My goodness. If people have a filthy, unclean spirit, the Bible says, the Hebrew boys refused to bow down to the image of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar had. Nebuchadnezzar, that big image that Nebuchadnezzar made was an image of Daniel, the prophet says. And the Hebrew boy refused to bow to that thing. And did God stand with them for refusing?
Yes.
So God is against that. It's a spirit of idolatry. It's an unclean spirit from the pit of hell. Friends, he only had 7 stars in his right hand. There's nothing between Rebecca and Isaac. There's nothing between Eliezer and Rebecca. Watch the Bible. Keep your heart in the Bible. Down to the image of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar had. Nebuchadnezzar, that big image that Nebuchadnezzar made was an image of Daniel, the prophet says. And the Hebrew boy refused to bow to that thing. And did God stand with them for refusing?
Yes.
So God is against that.
Amen.
It's a spirit of idolatry. It's an unclean spirit from the pit of hell. Friends, he only had 7 stars in his right hand. There's nothing between Rebecca and Isaac. There's nothing between Eliezer and Rebecca. Watch the Bible. Keep your heart in the Bible. Keep your mind in the scriptures. Because watch here. We'll see how Eve tried to teach instead of learning. We'll see how Eve tried to use authority instead of being subjection. And we'll see how Eve was deceived and bear the wrong child. How many of the first man born of woman in the Bible? Who's the first man born of woman in the Bible?
Cain.
First man born of woman. Who was his mother?
Me.
You ever look at Cain? He was a liar. He was a murderer. He was full of pride. He was full of anger. He had false worship. He couldn't take correction. He was marked and separated from the presence of God. Is that right? God told Adam and Eve, multiply and replenish the earth. But watch the first child she made. Adam was in the image and likeness of God, but look the first child she made. One that didn't come in the image and likeness of God. Something happened. How could she bear that child? How come that child opened up the womb? And that child liked a God in his face. God said, where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? God said, the blood of your brother cried to me from the earth. He had killed his brother. God had told him before, I can't receive your worship if you worship false. He didn't even know he was a sinner. He was so religious. He so wanted to worship that he couldn't see his own condition. He thought his desire to worship men acceptable by God. But he didn't see he was a sinner, so he didn't bring blood. Which is the thing to remit sin. He bring fruits. He bring the work of his hands. I bring my offering. Hey, your offering might help by a chair. Your offering will get in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Thank you, amen.
You better have a revelation to worship God. How can a people give to the church? There's nothing. You can't pay your way to heaven. It is the purchase that was already paid. The price was already paid. The blood of Jesus Christ. And Abel had a revelation of that lamb, and that's what he brought. Now watch. Let's see what is the transgression. The woman being deceived was in the transgression. The transgression, the word there means she went beyond the boundary. God gave them a word. The day you eat, you shall surely die. That was the word. They were protected by the word. It was the most secure place. It was the safest place. Because Satan cannot battle the word. How many knows that?
Amen.
You have been teaching and with this battle ever fought here. Jesus overcame the devil with no sign, no wonder, no miracle. He overcame him with the word. It is written. It is also written. Is that right?
Amen.
Showing that every believer have the word.
Amen.
And every believer have the tools that can defeat how to overcome the devil.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
That's right. And that's what God gave them dominion in the world.
Amen. Amen.
The prophet says many people can do it in the world, but few can stay with the word.
Yes,
amen. You say, do you believe? Malachi 4:5. Oh, so I do. Do you believe what he said? Oh, so I do. Do you believe in the end time? And the same slow? Oh, so I do. But can you stay with the word? They couldn't stay with the word. She left the original word to believe a perverted word from the false anointed one. What caused it for? She left the original word. God said, the dead is a solid eye. He said, no, 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 you shall not surely die. Don't bother these people saying that. No, here is some new light. She began to leave the world and cross the boundary of the world to get new light.
Yes.
And see how God handed down sentence. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. And see how God handed down sentence. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25, show you how Adam was first formed and then Eve. But Genesis 3 shows the woman in the being deceived and in the transgression. You get that?
Yeah.
Because Paul says, Adam was first formed. Where do you find that? God formed him from the dust of the ground. And God put him in Eden. Then, if Genesis 2, 18 to 25 show God, took Eve out after. Adam first formed, then Eve. But Genesis 3 shows, you know, the woman being deceived and then in the transgression. And then something happened after. Verse 9. Verse 3, 1 to 7 show you how she get deceived. How she crossed the boundary of the world when the serpent said, you shall not surely die. And how she began to eat. And then she went to Adam and gave to Adam to eat too. Then they knew they were naked. I want to get to verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. That the first emotion expressed after the fall. Fear. Fear. Afraid of the word. Afraid of the word. And I hid myself. I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten on the tree that I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. The unity between God and man was broken. And now the unity between man and his wife is broken. Because he put the blame on the woman. He says, hey, the woman you give me, she gave me in this. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. She said, well, I get deceived or beguiled by the serpent. See, the woman being deceived. She confessed her own self. Now catch this now. We're going to something a little deep here now. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go. The curse put him on his belly, wasn't on his belly before. And thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the first prophecy of the entire Bible concerning the coming Redeemer. Every other prophecy that came out of this original prophecy, because here the woman is being promised a seed. And what is that seed is going to do? It's going to be a man child. Because he is personal pronoun, singular, masculine. It's going to be a man child. And what is that man child going to do? It's going to bruise the serpent head. But in bruising his head, his heel shall be bruised. It was prophecy of the woman receiving a seed. Now a woman do not have a seed. The man has the seed. But this is prophecy that the woman will get a seed. Later on it unfolds in Isaiah 7:14 when Isaiah said, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Then Isaiah 53 says, and he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Showing that upon him was going to be laid the iniquity of us all. He was going to die for what? Our sins. You shall have a son, his name shall be called Jesus. He shall do what? Save his people from their sins. Where did they get their sins? When man fall here. By one man sin come into the world. Is that right? So this is prophecy of Christ. The woman getting a seed, and that seed was going to bruise the serpent's head, and in the bruising of the serpent's head, his heel shall be bruised, speaking of he will die, because Hebrews 2 tells us he was made of the Lord and the angels. He took on the nature of the sinner Abraham, that he might taste suffering and death, that he might destroy him who had the power of death, that he might bring many sons back unto glory. So that's the Bible story. That Christ, God, is going to become flesh to die. He was going to come by a virgin birth. The woman is going to get a seed by what? Immaculate conception. She was going to get a seed without sex. Now catch your thought. In other words, the woman is going to bear a son without sex. That's a promise to save her from a condition. Man, listen close. Why is God giving that promise? Why is that promise necessary? Why is he giving that promise? That's the promise God gives. Something happened when they eat. Something took place. What's the next verse? Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Oh, she had conceived. She was going to bring children by sex. But before she bring them, God is telling him, I will give you a seed. Because you're already dead. You, she and Adam already dead. The day you eat, you shall. A day with God is 1,000 years. How many know that no man ever lived 1,000 years with God?
Amen.
How many of the oldest man of Methuselah will live 969 years?
Amen.
But how many in the millennium will live 1,000 years?
Amen.
We'll end in a 1,000-year reign. Is that right?
Amen.
Showing here that what happened when they ate of that tree, she received a teaching. She was not supposed to teach, but she was seeking knowledge. And she left the true world to do what? Take a perverted word. Who is teaching her? The serpent? Oh, no, no, you're not going to die, sister. Boy, you are going to come into the real supernatural things of God. The part of people, this is a special thing right here. And she was being seduced. And she was leaving the original word for a false word. Who is the first one to preach the gospel in the Bible? The serpent. God did. But God did the big word to Adam, the original word. The angel surely died. But then what happened after God? Satan come right after God and do what? Say, you shall not surely die. He didn't come with his own word, you know. He take what God said and he pervert what God said. You get that? He took what God said and pervert what God said. That's what the devil does. He has no word of his own. He just take God's word, misplace it, mislocate it, and misinterpret it to deceive people with it. And what does that do? Bring forth the wrong kind of child. It give the wrong kind of birth. Is that right? Perverted word, give a perverted birth. And bring perverted children. Is that right? So God, knowing that they are already dead the day they eat, it was just a matter of time to be made manifest. And God is giving a promise of one to bruise the serpent head. The intelligence, the own doctrine. Like how David take that sling and have a fight and bust Goliath's head. That's right.
Yeah.
Unto the woman said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children. What is that? Bring forth children in sorrow. What is this sorrow bringing to children? What is this sorrow bringing for the children? Did Eve bring forth Jesus in sorrow? She's bringing forth the Redeemer who saved the world and take us back to the Garden of Eden. Could she be sorrowful about that? If he wasn't born through her, we are all dead. That was a blessing at the foot of that womb. God put a blessing in Mary's womb when she's going to conceive without sex. But God put a curse in Eve's womb. Because she conceived by the wrong thing. He said, in sorrow you'll bear children. You ever hear about child farms? I'll multiply the sorrow. How many of you have a child farm here? Many of you don't read the news. No fault of yours. But that's what we call child farms. You know children is big business, isn't it? You know organ, that we call organ donors, you know body parts is big business, isn't it? You know millionaires and billionaires have children and they have disease. You know that like 3 children has been missing? Many times? Because they want body parts for them? Who have a bad kidney, who have a bad heart, and these things? That's right. Do you know this? This is high, big business. You know that in Mexico and other places, it have children farms. There are people who want to have children, they want to adopt a child. It have women who want to have sex, they have a child. If you know about Michael Jackson, women just get conceived. Get a couple of million, be a child, 9 months, get birth to the child, give them the child. That's right. Big business. Do you know that for national security reasons, when you have a low population and you're living next to a hostile nation and your nation's small and you could be invaded and taken over, you have to increase your birth rate to build a population so you can have an army and these things? Do you know your economy bad? They sterilize men and they like Singapore and places, the island so small, you could only have 2 children?
Man.
That's right. And when you want to conquer territory, like that war in Bosnia that they had with the Muslims and the Christians, they had set up camps and they raped all those Muslim women and held them systematically until the child got too big to abort. So one nation could break the other nation and control the territory. Yeah. Did you know that is what Balaam tried to do? And did you know Moses kill every man who lived with a woman and kill all the women who had them seen? And Phineas take the javelin and kill that baby that woman was carrying? Yeah. That's right. Yeah. When they have all this slavery and people want child labor and they hold them there during the slave trade, they breed people to make bigger slaves. Yeah. You know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
They hold these people in captivity. This is, I know a woman, I'm showing you in general how she can see, because she is a field. She can receive seed. She can bring forth seed that even she has been on. She is made different to every other species. She can be exploited and manipulated and be used as a production thing to keep bringing children that can make money in these things. Provide labor for industry. That's right. All these things today, National Geographic, I think in July, had a whole big 20-page article showing you that slavery still exists. And they have documented and showing how they put all these things in the papers. You know, job, yeah, nice girl wanted, you know, single, attractive, and they bring them. They give them papers, say we're going to take away, we're going to pick apple, or you go away and do some work in a nice big restaurant, and before you know, they become sex slaves. Yeah. And they're bringing forth children, because business is men can use them. They use them as a sex slave, they let the authorities take them, and say this one is here illegally. Then they go and bail them out. When they go and bail them out, they take them out a bail. And then now they become responsible for them. Then they take them now into these brothels and they use them. And then they give the children that they bear to, that they sell it to. So they become property, they become merchants like a man of cattle, pigs, just lying in there with bones and everything else and keep selling them. That's how the slave trade was too. That's how it is still today. It's how she'll conceive. She'll bring forth out of her own children that are not her own. She'll bring forth children she don't want children. She'll bring forth children that she'll never mother. He'll multiply that conception. You think adultery is an easy thing? One adultery destroyed the whole world. If one adultery destroyed the whole planet, the whole world, that bring God in flesh to die, what adultery do that home? If one adultery destroyed the whole human race in the dead, what will one adultery do in a home? See, sometimes we go along, church, religious, Brother Branham is a prophet, put the picture on the wall and think I'm serving God. That having a picture for you, a big tool for that.
Yes,
you go and buy that in a store.
Yes.
A religious store. That's not serving God.
Yes, amen.
We have to get a little deeper than that.
Yes, amen.
We have to get up to the place where we are walking in the word.
Yes,
now watch. God shall multiply. And what's the next part of the verse? And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. God said, now you desire to be to your husband. You know why? She gave her desire to one that wasn't her husband.
Amen.
So God now put her under headship.
Yeah.
It was like co-equal before, but now God put her, and he shall rule over thee.
Hallelujah.
She shall, in sorrow she shall bring for children. What is this sorrow she bring for children in? When he bring for Cain, she was so deceived, she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. But catch this. She bring for the lion, a murderer. She bring for the false worshipper. She bring for the one who take correction. She bring for one who is full of anger and revengeful. She bring for one who is proud. That is what she bring. That is the first man born of a woman. Was an unclean man, a man that God refused, a man that God rejected, was an illegitimate man, a reprobate man, a man who had no revelation of who God was or how to worship God, a man who would not confess he was a sinner by bringing a blood atonement, but a man who tried to make his own altar of his own religion in an unconverted nature. Think of it. That's bad. That's the
Bible.
And God said, you see, you wanted to teach. You went to the serpent seminary. You sit under the serpent teaching. You pick up the serpent interpretation. And you went to Adam to show Adam how to bring the children. Because remember, God said, multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 1:28, multiply and replenish the earth. But Eve wasn't there yet. So even though God spoke it, it had to wait until the woman came.
Yeah.
And when God brought the woman to existence, why did he give she as a wife to Adam? So another Adam could be produced.
Yeah.
He could bring forth one after his own kind.
Yeah.
He could bring forth, and what was Adam? He was in the image and likeness of God. He had dominion over the earth. He was an amateur of God. Bring forth the amateur of God. Bring forth a son with revelation. Bring forth a son with the literal life of his father. Bring forth a son in the image and likeness of his daddy. With the same lady at the fellowship with his father. Bring forth a son that is in oneness. But what did she bring forth? A reprobate. A religious man with false doctrine. And God put the first human being that was ever marked was marked because what? He depart from the revealed word, which goes into apostasy. So if all this church is bringing forth men and women that can't obey the word, where are they going? Into apostasy. How many of the Bible say there will come a falling away in the last days?
Yes.
Falling away from the faith. How many of the Bible say seducing spirits will make them depart from the faith? How many of the Bible says, and because they have the love for the truth, they receive a strong delusion to believe what? The lie and be damned by it. Is that right?
Yes.
Eve believed the lie of the serpent and was damned by it. She was cursed.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Eve departed from the faith, from the original word, by a seducing spirit.
Yes, amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Eve had itching ears and left the truth and turned unto fables. What do you know in the Bible? In the last days, they'll have itching ears and turn from the fables.
Amen.
Even teachers with perverted teaching that can't bring a right word.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
If that is in the end, it had to be in the beginning.
Amen.
Did Eve do all these things?
Yes.
And did that produce a reprobate in the beginning? Is it going to produce a reprobate in the end?
Yes.
And did that first one take the mark of the beast in the beginning? Wouldn't he take the mark of the beast in the end?
Yes. Yes.
You see what this Bible is? You see what this Bible is? I go to church locked in the teaching of the scripture to understand the message God sent. I have all kind of slew when leading the divers lost running to and fro, pick up all kind of spirits everywhere. Then you get a thinking filter, get a holy man taste. Now watch. But notice, while we see divine judgment upon her in Genesis 3:16, concerning her childbearing, in sorrow you'll bring forth children. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'll multiply your conception.
Yeah.
Divine judgment because thou hast done this.
Yes,
in Genesis 3:15, we see a divine promised blessing pronounced upon her. But you'll have a seed that bruises upon head. You'll have a seed. Out of the human womb is coming reprobates. But a seed is going to come to the world. The woman had part in the fall, and the woman had part in the redemption. Hallelujah! Eve disbelieved the word, believed the devil lied, bring forth Cain. Mary learned in silence with all subjection from the angel. She said, how shall this be? And the angel was no false anointed. The angel went back to the prophetic scriptures and said, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. And she interjected it. Be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't try to teach. She learned in silence without objection. And the angel brought the prophetic word. The word of the prophet who had the fullness of the scripture. Isaiah represented the prophet who brought the fullness of the word. Yes, sir.
Amen.
When is the first child born in New Testament? When is the first child born of hope in New Testament? Jesus. Jesus. A Savior. How many know he's called the last Adam? Eve was to bring forth another Adam. But you bring a Cain. But Mary, from a virgin womb. Is that right? From a virgin, she was as close to Joseph, but God got to her before man could touch her. Is that right? Eve was married to Adam, but the serpent got to her before Adam could touch her. Oh,
my.
But Mary, to bring the child, was willing to learn.
Hallelujah.
She hear the angel tell me, hallelujah, I get commission, glory to God, and she should bear by the pavement. I said, I have the commission from the angel, I want to hear nobody else. No. She know, you tell me this, but I don't know what to do from here. How shall this thing be? He said, no, this is not going to come in mind, sister. The Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and that holy thing, that kid, that holy thing, that shall be found in thee, shall be called. The first woman in the New Testament, and did he commit sex? No, he didn't come the way he brought him. God put a curse in his womb.
That's right.
But the angel put a blessing in Mary womb. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. No man is going to put a seed in you. No man from your seminary, a false anointed one, perverted what the Eve, but the angel from heaven, a mighty angel, descended from heaven. Hallelujah! What a message that God wants to be made manifest in the virgin. Is that right? God must be manifest, and he will be Emmanuel, God with us. But the servant light even say, you shall be as gods. You see perversion? First woman bring a child in the Old Testament, first woman bring a child in the New Testament. This one bring one in the express image. He was the express image of the invisible God. Like Adam, he was the image and likeness of God. Adam came from thought to word to flesh. Is that right? Jesus came from thought to word to flesh. But Cain comes from thought to flesh. He bypassed the word. That's why he don't know God. That's why his father, who father in the serpent, had false teaching. That's why he commit false all that false teaching too. Because like bigger light. And for some Trinitarian, like I was telling them, Saint Lucian, some kids, I said, you know, I says, you see, God the first person of the Trinity, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, and the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. I said, look, God and the Holy Ghost are two different people. Explain Matthew 1, where it says, and Mary was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and Jesus said, God is his father. So if the Holy Ghost and God is two different people, then Jesus had two different fathers. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad that God's in Malachi 4:5 in the last days. Rip the seat open the book and come to have the church back to the faith of the fathers. I can declare and declare the faith of the fathers is living still in it. Eve was trying to bring forth what Mary brought forth. Because God brought forth the first Adam. Adam and Eve was to bring forth another Adam. Why is a wife given to a man? To reproduce himself, he has seed.
Amen.
And his seed will bring one after his kind.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
But he wasn't to bring them by sex. That was the animal way. I'll show you something. There's an uncleanness with that kind of childbearing. We see it here, God cursed here. Turn to Leviticus 12 quickly. What time is running out? Let me just strike this little place quickly. Leviticus 12. Leviticus chapter 12. Oh, I just love the word.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's an elect lady in St. Vincent, you know that.
Amen.
The Bible was the elect lady and her children. You were the second John. And there were some seducing spirits that was trying to get at the elect lady and her children. And John spoke that epistle and warned them of that thing. See? Because whenever there's a virgin around, you watch that seducing, that adulterous devil trying to put his seed inside of God's virgin bride. And Paul said, I espouse you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You remember my message there in the ordination of these brothers here? Who can find a virtuous woman in St. Vincent? Yes. The virtuous woman, the adulterous woman in St. Vincent?
Yes.
That's right. Remember your history. Look back where you come from. See how you travel the road. See what you're facing. See how you deal with it in the course of the journey.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Leviticus 12. This is an ordinance that God has given you. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. Oh my, what are we getting at here? You mean a woman giving birth to a baby and she's unclean? She's considered unclean? And she could be a man child? According to the days of the separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, because she's bringing forth an uncircumcised man child. You catching that? An unclean woman could only bring forth an uncircumcised man child. That's what she's looking for.
Yes, amen.
But how many, when you get a new birth, when you're born through the womb of the bride, you come forth circumcised?
Amen.
You come in the right birth.
Yes, amen.
Remember, natural circumcision is a type of what? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's why if we produce church members who have to join the church, we have the wrong kind of system.
Yes.
We have to produce sons and daughters of God born into the family.
Yes.
Born into the family.
Yes.
The biggest thing is, you cannot sit down in a church if you don't believe the doctrine of that church.
Yes.
Amen.
You're squatting in the wrong place.
Yes.
Yeah, we're born into the family, and born to the family, you're born by the seed that birthed the family.
Yes.
And the seed that birthed the family, the doctrine of the family.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
And the doctrine, that's the blood, that's the life. That's what brings forth another one.
Yes, amen.
But you're a woman that can teach. Go and pick up your simple teaching. I don't want to bring it. And not know where you're bringing it. Guess you so. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. 7 days she shall be unclean, and she will continue in the blood of her purifying 33, that's 40 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification be fulfilled. When she have a child by sex, she could come near that tabernacle. She was considered unclean. Why did God give such an ordinance? What was wrong with the bird? Was something wrong with the bird? You see how all these things point back to Genesis? Watch. But if she bear a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks. Double. If it's a man child, she only unclean 7 days. She bring for a woman child, like herself. One who was deceived and in the transgression and bring forth a bastard, then she shall be unclean 14 days. That in your Bible? Some of you watch me like if I've written a different Maccabees Bible or something. I'm surprised to know you have the same Bible written that same thing again. You never read this thing before? This is showing the uncleanness with childbearing by sex. This ordinance God went to reveal, and I'll show it to you just now. You'll understand that I should say I'm showing it to you. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. Double again, her purifying is 66 days. For a boy child, man child, 33 days. Her unclean is 7 days. For a female, 66 days of purifying and 14 days unclean. Why? Adam was first formed. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. The fall come through there. Is that right?
Amen.
And when the days of a purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Wait. Why is she have to bring a sin offering? Where is the sin? sin offering is a sin. The burnt offering was a sweet savor offering. But the lamb is the burnt offering. You getting that?
Amen.
A lamb and a dove. She need a lamb and a dove to cleanse her, to bring her back into the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How many of Jesus is the Lamb?
Yeah.
How many of the Holy Ghost came out from a dove?
Yeah.
How many of the dove and the Lamb was united in Jordan?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
A burnt offering, yeah. A burnt offering speak of what? Full unreserved consecration. You have to take the hair and examine it and make sure you have no blemish. Head speak of the thoughts. You have to take the inwards and wash it in water. The inwards speak of the affection and the desires.
Yeah.
If I have the Leviticus word. You have to take the feet. Let's speak of the walk.
Amen.
Walk before me and be perfect.
Amen.
Walk in the light. Walk worthy of your vocation, those you call. Is that right?
Amen.
He said, don't walk after the vanity of the flesh, don't walk after the course of this world. It's the feet speak of your walk.
Amen.
And the fat speak of the strength.
Amen.
The most, the choices and the best parts. Amen. The fat. And that's what about saying, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. They have to offer the head, and that's why you have to lay down your head. You have to lay down your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
And come in submission to God. You have no thoughts of your own.
Yeah.
You have to lay down your desires.
Yes, amen.
Your affections don't have to be certain things above.
Yes,
you have to walk worthy of the vocation.
Amen.
And walk in the light. Amen. And walk before God and be perfect.
Amen.
See? You have to come in, and the fact, the choice, and the best part, all your strength. You have to offer it to God.
Amen.
Then all of it was consumed completely. Nothing was left back for the offerer. That's why Jesus said, I come not to do my own will. I come to do the will of my Father.
Hallelujah.
See, my meat is the will of my Father.
Yeah.
He did nothing for himself. Everything that he did, he completely laid up his life to the will of the Father.
Amen.
The Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God. My. We're beginning to talk close, so friend. We just try to climax here. Verse 6. And when he did up, he found, I fulfill for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or turtle for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. She had to get a sin offering, and this lamb and dove have to make atonement for her if she bring forth a child, because she's unclean. Why is a woman given birth? Because she was not to bring the children by sex. She was Adam and Eve wasn't born. You know that?
Yeah.
Adam and Eve was created by God.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't come by sex. Jesus was at the beginning of the new creation. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's right. He's the head of a new race. Because if in Adam we all die, in Christ we all live. What makes us dead? Our birth. The woman is bringing forth in sorrow. You know why? She's bringing forth a dead child with a carnal nature, born outside of the kingdom instead of being born in the kingdom. They were in a kingdom. Adam was king over a kingdom. Adam had dominion. Adam had fellowship with God. He had eternal life. He had fellowship with God. He had power over you. And she was bringing forth an illegitimate child who ain't no God, who can worship God, who lying, who have a nature of rebellion against God. Why? Because she bear the child the wrong way. She was deceived with false teaching, and she was trying to bring a divine promise to pass with false teaching. Can't you see them trying to bring ministers today? To have a seminary program, a Bible school program. And what kind of minister to bring in? A man teaching false doctrine. He go a 3 months course, get a certificate, put in a word of course of a minister. Church put him out in the preach, go and beg for the offering. And preach false doctrines to the people. Have all and Bob here, woman there, pain face, everything, sealed, living in adultery, married 23 times, and calling them children of God. Compromises. That's the kind of Bible school producing. And look at the church in this condition today. Why? She's trying to bring the wrong way. She's trying to bring a new birth with false teaching and emotion. get that yoga. See, trying to bring about emotion. The serpent teach her how to bring children by sensation. She went and she learned that from a tongue speaker. How many little serpents on a tongue? But he didn't have the image and likeness of God. He didn't have fellowship with God. He didn't have the life of God. But he could give sensation. He could make the shirt shout. He could make the shirt jump. He could make them roll and scream. Is that right? And he could put false seed in them too. And make them give birth to these illegitimate children. Deniers of the word. Is that right? Our gates are the gates of hell.
Amen.
People like dumb ox go into our gates and end up in the slaughter. Look at her trying to bring the unity of the faith today without the Holy Spirit or the Word. No. Not trying to bring it through an ecumenical move that we all may be one.
Yeah.
Trying to bring a divine promise by false methods.
Yeah.
The serpent revealed to her the animal methods for reproduction to bring the race, the super race and the super church that was supposed to come. And today they're still trying to bring it out here with all the false methods and the false problems. Can't bring a good minister. Can't bring a new birth. Eve didn't know how to bring the children. The serpent, a tongue speaker, who can give sensation, teach her how to give birth to the children. I want you to bring what you with a king who can take direction for the world. You see the picture? Praise God. You see what organization is? It's a woman. It's a house out here. She doesn't know the ways of God. She wants to teach instead of learning. She wants to have authority instead of being subjection. And she's deceiving childbearing. She's bearing the wrong kind of children. Bringing for Calpsonian, Dobsing, Retney singer, until the world comes to church and they know what's going on. And then just like a fruit, look at fornication, adultery, look at pollution, and all kinds of schemes and everything else inside the church. And you look there for a son or daughter of God and you can't find them. Perverted children.
That's
right. Blasted, blotted by the roots, clouds without water, filthy dreamers, having the filthy denominational wet dreams. Oh, they're going to be a big man like Moses. They're going to do this and do the other. Filthy dreamers.
Yeah.
Unclean.
Yeah.
Man. Get in the hall of bed. Get the mind full of theology. And blow the brains. And come out here super duper. And try to, you know, throw down people. And be a small super like a big one. Who only touch them and fall.
Yes.
It's all a false doctrine. God want the woman to pregnate the church, to bring for our sons and daughters in his image and likeness. Tell what men and women do in perfect step, like the prophets that are marching onward, pushing slowly, proudly displaying the blood of Jesus Christ, the message of the hour, marching in the rhythm of the gospel. You're walking among them, spirits of judgment, made perfect, innumerable company of saints, heavenly Jerusalem, city of the living God, where the voice of the blood speaks better things. You see a church getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Quickly. So look at her trying to bring forth. And verse 7 says, who shall offer it before the Lord to make an atonement for her? She has to get a lamb and a dove to get her cleansed. And she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that had born a male or female. And if she not be able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtle doves that she bore. Or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for the sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her and she shall be clean. How many know that dove don't take a bath?
Amen.
A dove of oil on the inside. How many know that dove have no gall, they have no bitterness? It's not like a crow, built different. A crow will go and eat a dead dog, and then the crow will go and eat the same herb and the same seed that the dove eat. But the dove can't go and eat the dead dog. They go to that party, they go to this, go to that beach party, they go to the beginning, and they come back in church and they say they had a good time and how God moved and the spirit was there and everything else. And see? That kind of thing. I will bring forth. But dove, I mean, the reason how many doves is made for life? You know that? A dove that's made for life. A dove is loyal to its mate.
That's right.
Dove don't go and run around with her next mate and pray. No, when that mate dead, that dove stay a widow dove. Like dove.
Amen.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yes.
A dove is used to carry messages.
Amen.
You know what a dove is used to carry messages? Because it's loyal to the mate. Wherever it goes, it's come back. They call that home in Pigeon. The dove and the Pigeon, same family. Why? Because the mate home.
Mm.
It don't stay away, it's come back to the mate. So when they saw the loyalty of the dove, they don't care straight. And if Christ is the word and you are his mate, you can get away from your mate. You are mate with the word for life. You are no bitterness. You are a good brother. You are a good sister. You're this year. You're Indian this year. You're full of bitterness. You're blown. I don't have that. I don't have oil. It's been clean from the inside out. It's not like a bath, an outside bath. You might see a dove in some water. That don't say anything because the real cleanliness of the dove is on the inside.
Yes.
Amen. It didn't depend on the water baptism, friend. In the oil baptism inside. The oil is keeping clean from the inside. With the bitterness. Amen. Went loyal to the mate. Dove was used for atonement. Dove is sacrificial. Dove is giving life. So a leper could be cleansed. Dove give their life so a woman could be cleansed to get reconciled back to God. Amen! And come back in fellowship with God. The lamb and the dove was a mystery. And today, brother, the lamb and the dove has cleansed the true woman, the true bride. And she can bring forth her children circumcised. Amen. She can bring forth the real kind of children. Do you know Mary had to carry two little doves for purification? Luke 2:21-24. She's that kind of a Jesus note. But you see, Jesus, how does a child feed in the mother's womb? Can anybody say? Through the umbilical cord. Is that right? That's right. And Eve was eating food from the ground. But how many of the ground was cursed in Genesis when man fell? Cursed the ground for thy sake. And when Cain killed Abel, cursed the ground again a second time. Is that right?
That's right.
And so, that's why Jesus, when he's 50, when he's 33 years, looked like 50. Remember them Jews say, "Art thou, you know Abraham, and you had about 50 years old?" He was 33, but the burden of carrying the message, he looked older than he was. See, he was aging. He was aging, though he was the eternal God. Though he didn't come by sex, he was aging, because he was eating the things of this world. But among transfigures in the show, you see, upon him being laid, our infirmity and the iniquity of us all. He's wounded for transgressions, you see. But among transfiguration, he pulled that mask back and he passed into glorification, and his face was brighter than the noonday sun, and his clothes was white like snow, and no full of soap could wash it. And they saw him glorified. They realized this was the incarnate God. Think of it, friends. Oh my, it pays to have the new birth. You don't have the new birth today. You're born through the womb of a church, some denominational church, by a false doctrine. You come the way you wasn't supposed to come. You try to pray and you find it hard to pray. You try to read and you fall asleep in the book. You try to sing and then you get all kind of mind battles. You still have a little bitterness and grudges and these things. You know something's wrong with that birth. You know, that's a life still in bondage. You're going to do love church, but you want to love the Lord. You want to know Him so you can love Him and you can rise above the church into the world. Amen. Your life can offer yourself a living sacrifice. You can get the mystery of the lamb and the dove into your life to cleanse you. Amen. To bring you into real fellowship with God. You can bring forth a real circumcised life. As Stephen tell him, the religious is uncircumcising heart and ears resisting the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But your ears are circumcised, your eyes are circumcised, your lips are circumcised.
Lord.
You come forth as a circumcised child. You're circumcised in the 8th day. 8 speak of what? A new creation, a new order, a new beginning. Why did they circumcise the male penis? the male sexual organ. You know why? Because that is the organ that brought perverted life. That is the organ that brought the fall. That is the organ that caused man to be born dead in sin and trespasses. So God said, put the knife on that. Cut off that excess flesh. But that's back to the fall. But do it on the 8th day, because 8 speak of a new creation. 7 is completion day, 7 days in the week. But 8 bring you back to the first day. That's the resurrection. He rose on the 8th day. The Holy Ghost came on the 8th day. 50 days. On the 50th day of Pentecost, 7 sevens are 49. And the 50th day was the 8th day. A new beginning. And so 8 speaks of eternity. A circle without end.
Amen.
Eternal life. And so that child that comes forth is coming forth by a new birth. Through the real church. And Mary, she brought for the man child without sex. Think of it. And this one came, when he came, he could walk on the water. He could speak to the storm. He could speak to the tree. He could speak to the winds. Is that right? And he said, what manner of man is this? In the winds and the waves obey him. But that was the man of man that God made in the beginning, when he made man in his image and likeness and gave him dominion over the whole earth. That was the kind of man that comes forth through the womb of the church in this hour. The Bible says they offer the manifestations of the sons of God. Yeah. They offer adopted sons of God. It says they are, when he says, Father, that they may be one as I and you are one. That they are sons and daughters in oneness with God. Is that right?
Yeah.
Life of his life, spirit of his spirit, word of his word. What he is, we are. Was Eve born of Adam, born of flesh, Adam flesh?
Yeah.
That's right. That's a type of what the real church was to be. And it doesn't say that we are a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle in the last days. Amen. I just have 2 scriptures, short ones, and we're finished. Let me read quickly. Job 14. To show you there's an uncleanness of that bit of being born by sex. And the results of the woman being deceived was that she was going to bear the wrong children. That's why Genesis 3:16, he puts a curse. But Genesis 3:15, he gives her a blessing. A seed was going to come. The real kind of son was going to come. A son that would be a savior. A son that would be God manifest in the flesh. A son that would come by creation and by sex. A son that would be the last Adam. A son that would bring forth a new birth that would make fallen mankind a new creation. That's what Jesus was. And that's what's coming forth out of the bride. You are bringing forth Christ. Paul said, I travail in birth until Christ be forming you. The church is pregnant with the word to bring forth Jesus Christ, the true son in this hour. Just like Hannah bring forth Samuel. And he brought Israel back to God. Sarah brought forth Isaac. And he took back all the wealth of his father Abraham. He was obedient to the will of the father. Think of it. Rahab brought forth Boaz. And he redeemed Ruth. And Elimelech lost inheritance. Bathsheba brought forth Solomon. And he had a great kingdom. All of them was a type of Christ. The woman bringing forth a son. Amen. Job 14, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Genesis 1, 26 and 28, we see man created by God. Genesis 4, Cain, we see man born of a woman. You get that? There's 2 kinds of man in the Bible. 1, man created by God in God's image and likeness. Then man born of a woman. Adam and Eve wasn't born of a woman. He was created by God. Cain was born of a woman. See? So Job, in his great trial here, watch him. Watch Job in his great testing time. Watch him when he's going through this great time when he was in his trial and he was looking to see God do something for him. And he cried out, man is born of a woman and few days are full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes to such a one and bringest me to judgment thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of unclean? Not one. Job looked back and seen man born of a woman unclean. Why? Didn't God give Moses and said he was unclean to be with a man child? And Job said, look at me, I'm unclean. Who could bring forth a clean thing out of unclean? Who could get me out of this condition?
Yeah.
It's going to take a new birth. Yeah. It's going to take one with a new birth. Yeah. Because the way I born through the womb of a woman who has given a false doctrine by a tongue speaker, who has given a birth with sensation, and who bring forth a legitimate child that don't know God, that can't be subject to the word of God. He that born of flesh is flesh, and that in the flesh cannot please God. The carnal mind is enmity with God.
Yeah.
They come forth with what? A stony heart. They come forth with what? A perverted spirit. They come forth with a carnal nature. Didn't Ezekiel say, I'll give you what? A new heart. I'll take this stony heart out. Why? You can make a stony heart. You can make, you can't love your brother and sister. If you can't love them, now you say you're not in the truth. You're still open up for the old nature. You're still grudging. You're still jealous. You're still envious. You're still backbiting. You're still persecuting. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Why? Sarah went to Abraham and Noah, trying to teach him how to bring the children. He said, Abraham, God tell you guys, see that the stars in the heaven. I can't be it. Go with Hagar, Hagar will be it. And she used to talk to you over the man, and she started to teach Abraham. And Abraham get under her false teacher with Hagar and bring a born child. Because Sarah, Hagar was in bondage, and she tendered to bondage. You watch a church. You watch a church that is in bondage to sin. She can't bring a free child.
Amen.
You catch that?
Amen.
Any church that is in bondage can't bring a free child. They have to bring after the kind. Because the church in bondage to sin, it bring a little sinner and call them a Christian. But the church has to be free. And how did the church get free? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When truth come to a church and make the church free, and the incorruptible seed of the world give birth to children, that church become pregnant with the world. It's not a break for the world children. Watch them speak the scripture. Say, wait, brother, check that in the Bible. See, that's right. Let's pray before we do that. We just can't go in zeal and enthusiasm. Remember, nothing that will be done, nothing that might be power. Come, brother, let's acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. He'll direct our paths. You see, children born of the word, how they act, how they live.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Since days are determined, the numbers of months are with thee. Thou art a pointless bones that he cannot pass. So Job is crying out, a man born of a woman, an unclean pleasure, who could bring a clean thing out of it? It's going to take a lamb and a dove. The lamb went to the water, and the dove came down, and the dove led the lamb to Calvary. To do what? Make an atonement for the sin that the one brought into the world. To send the Holy Ghost back in the church and bring a new birth. Bring the real circumcision of heart. Is that right?
Yes.
That's the Bible. Psalms 51 is the last one. Watch David. Oh, you watch David in his time, in his great fall. This is the psalm when David fell. Verse 1. Before, if you have a Bible, it tells, he said to the chief musician, a psalm of David, and Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You see, how come a man like me, who is anointed, who fought the giant, who went to deliver the people, end up in adultery? How come me, a king, who fall in the distant time and throw me this sword into my kingdom and bring death on the kingdom? You catch that? Adam was a king. Adam get away from the word of God. Adam went with his wife, and who was deceived by the serpent. Adam threw the kingdom to death. David, a king here, in his time, a great fall. But notice something. Was David restored back to his kingdom? That's right. Through atonement, he came back to his kingdom. Is it about him? That's right, in the kingdom. Praise God, you see? Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. And he looks back to his birth. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He saw the weakness of his condition was because of his birth. He was conceived in sin. There was sin connected to his birth. The woman had to bring a sin offering because the child born from her was uncircumcised and she was unclean. And she had to be separated from the presence of God. Did God put Adam and Eve out in the garden? And he put cherubim and he couldn't come back in? He separated them from his presence. Was there a veil in the tabernacle? A barrier between God and man?
Amen.
to show man was a sinner because of the fall? That's right. Friends, how could it tell us if it happened? Where did you get that thing from, that nonsense from? How can you believe this kind of thing? Look at the Bible here. There's something wrong with the bird.
Right.
That's why the church is doing the same thing. She could never come out of it. Because 2 Corinthians 11, tell you what, as the serpent beguiled Eve, should this come preach another gospel, another Jesus. But I espouse you that she is virgin toward husband Christ. But I fear that what happened to Eve, the same thing will happen to you. Is that right?
Amen.
So the church fell like Eve. And then God said what? You have left your first love.
Amen.
Revelation 2.
Hello.
Get back to where you fell from. Shall already eat from the wrong tree. What do you say? If you overcome, I'll give it to the paradise of God. Then verse 14 and 15, he said, you have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You have the doctrine of Balaam. What is the doctrine of Balaam? Bring the children of Israel with Moabite. False union. Is that right? Don't commit fornication. Is that right? And then, verse 20, and thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who seduces my servants and teach them to commit fornication and eating sacrifice to idols. They just end up in idolatry and is getting the false worship because of what they eat, that false word from false anointed one. They just get perverted. They depart from the faith and end up in idolatry. What was the woman teaching? That one of the bride. She was the second bride. She was the second Eve. But she fell like Eve. And she bring forth children and Judah, and some went in the way of Cain. Some went in the era in the gates in Korah. Some went in the era of Balaam.
Right.
Is that right? They go begging for money. They go trying to curse God people. Is that right?
Right.
Balaam make a market for his gift for money. Cain, rebellious to the revealed. Korah tried to start your man-made movement after a vindicated prophet had come with the word. Is that right? Seducing spirits, take them away from the world. And look where you take them. And the earth opened and swallowed Korah. Cain was mocked and separated, and Balaam was killed with a sword. That's right, for God don't make so big a difference. My. And this is the chip up. It's all in Balaams today, using the gift to make money.
Yes.
For popularity. It's them Korahs with all these schemes, having people dancing on a golden calf. Hey. All these little man-made idolatrous things. Let her come with a lamb and a turtle dove to get cleansed. Every child born by sex need to be identified with the lamb and the dove come back upon them to get a new nature. Is that right?
Amen.
Is it done the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
When you identify with the Lamb, doesn't the life of the Lamb come back upon you?
That's right.
That's right. Amen. And that brings a new birth?
Amen.
And then you can never die again. He that believeth in me shall never die. They were dead yet shall live. You pass from death unto life. Now you have the divine nature of God. Oh my. Thank you, friends. It's so wonderful in this hour. There's a church. The real true churches and the face of the earth is virgins to the word. Virgins to the word. Many seducing spirits with the seed of discrepancy trying to plant their own ideas, their own interpretations into the room of the church. To defile the bedding ground, to bring forth perverted children, just have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But the real and true church will bring forth the manifestation of the sons of God. Sons in fellowship, sons in the image and likeness of the Father, sons that can walk in union, sons where the word have the preeminence inside of them. Stay with the word. Stay faithful to the word. Stay under the hedge of the word. Amen. You know the word. Amen. Because when that church fell, when the Ephesian age, the second Eve fell, then what did Eve do? Eve went to the serpent and she received the doctrine that she was conquered by the serpent, Nicolaitanism. Then she bowed down to the serpent, a false image. When a woman wanted to know something, what she's supposed to do? Ask her? But where she went, she didn't go to her husband, she went to her next man. And then she wanted to bring me for the next man to share her husband. And today she wanted to teach. She threw the whole world in debt and she wanted to teach. But the one who will be saved and saved the world, say, beat unto me. And she learned in silence with all subjection. And she bring forth the right kind of child. And the one who went to teach, bring forth the child that brother killed the righteous. Is that right? That's the Bible. You can't go wrong with this world from this world, prove everything. These things are not makeup. Look at the scripture. Look at the 9 scriptures. See? And you watch and see. Here we are in this house. Let us walk in this truth. Let us understand what has come to us. Let us be faithful to the word. And let us stay with that word, friends. And when that rain, God begins to give you shower upon shower, then that word that is planted in you will begin to live in you. You'll be trying to do nothing. The Spirit will bring the word to life. But the seed must be the right seed that goes in. A former rain, a teaching rain, to put the seed in the field, then a harvest rain to bring the crop up and make the word live in the people. Jesus said, soil for the soul. He planted the word. He said, found good soil. And then the Holy Ghost, the rain came in the upper room, and they wrote the book of Acts. They got the word live inside of them. They did the same things. Is that right?
Amen.
That's the Bible. That's a Bible pattern. And if you see that, my brother, my sister, you may be a denominational believer, you see these things today, go home and pray with this. If you are wrestling with the mind, if you see them so clearly, you embrace it and walk in it. And may God, through His great grace, wash away all the error and all the make-believe and all the misunderstanding and bring you into what your heart desired and longed for, what might seem elusive to you. May this be your time and your season that you will receive the word, the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. If you have the Holy Ghost cannot deny the word that the Holy Ghost has written in the pages of the Bible. The Holy Ghost in you will say amen to every word. And there's a church, you know, this is a woman in St. Vincent. There's many women in St. Vincent, Mistress Baptist and Mistress Methodist and Mistress Jehovah's Witness and Miss Seventh-day Adventist. What the kind of church she given birth to? And if this is a woman here, watch and see what kind of sons, what kind of pregnation she receiving, what kind of child she bringing. Is that child that can worship in spirit and truth? Is that child that will be obedient to the word? Is that child that will love the Lord all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength? Is it going to be a spiritual child, a child that is circumcised? Amen. Is that child that will hold the doctrine and be faithful to the doctrine of the word and stand that you are willing to die for what you believe in, because you know this, the faith that of the fathers that they went on the ground with when they tried to martyr that church, it has come back in the last days. They couldn't keep that out of existence, friends. And so here it is coming powerful in the last days, getting ready to go into the rapture, receiving a rapturing faith under the true teaching of the word. Now, brothers and sisters, and strangers and visitors, you're a stranger, you're a visitor, you come around here and you hear the word of God. Know that we have not followed commonly devised fables. You realize we are established in the Bible and the principles of the scriptures. We are rooted and grounded in the dust, said the Lord, of the word of Almighty God. And if I was living here, I would be glad to come through those doors, and not just as a spectator, not as a dictator or commentator. I would come as a participator. I would come and be involved. And I would not bring my old thing. I'll do like Elisha. I'll tear up the old mantle to get the robe of Elisha. Amen. Hallelujah! Glory be to God in the highest. Because when you put this new wine in old bottles, them old wine skin can't stretch. You see, it wasn't natural glass bottles in them days, it was wine skins. The skin from the animal that had oil in it. And wine is a thing that's ferment. We just make wine home for our communion. When that wine started to ferment, it had power to expand. And that thing that wine skin just started to stretch. And the oil in the skin just make it flexible so it can move. When the wine expanded, you see? But after that wine bottle now expand, it stretch all it can stretch. And the wine is used up. You don't want to put wine in that, you got new wine skin. Because when you set the new wine, and the new wine starts to expand, you must have oil. But when you use the old wine bottle, that already stretch out, everything could stretch already. So when that wine now starts to expand, and that new wine, and this new wine has a lot of power inside it. When that wine starts to move, it will burst that thing. That will happen a lot of people. They've come in with the old wineskin, old denominational wineskin from the world and from denomination. And when the new wines are appointed and the pressure starts and the wines start to expand, the world start to demand things of you. Walk in this and walk in that, and obey this. You find yourself go to that dry patch skin. I can't take that word. They push it too hard. It's like a control my heart. Somebody can accommodate the wine. Amen. The dry and parched. He pushed against me, criticized me. I can't lie again. Dry and parched. Enjoy all that wine. Amen. Come on, Peter. Come on in the highest. You know, Alan, new garment, the old garment. Man like the old denominational garment. Sometimes they want the new garment because they take the color of the new garment and put in the old garment. Well, I'm a baptism wrong, so I put on the change of baptism. Oh, I have two buttons missing here. I didn't understand the sins of the old, so I cannot take the buttons and put it on here. And you try to patch up the old garment. No, tear up the old garment. The whole new world. Why? Because any man in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Stand to our feet and give you praise and glory. Let it be all the Father. We thank you today. We rejoice in your great mighty presence. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the revelation and the stimulation. We thank you for the teaching of the scriptures. We thank you for the clarity of the vision. We thank you for the anointed scriptures. We thank you, dear God, to send a prophet. We thank you for sending a message of seven thunders to open these divine and revealed mystery truths that were sealed in the Bible, the hidden secrets of redemption, to make it plain, dear God, to us. Statue of Jesus Christ in this hour. Make it the personal possession of every brother and every sister here, Father. May the entrance of your word give light and illumination. May it come so clear to them. Set them upon a rock that they shall not be moved.
Little doctrine is always good sometimes. Scout the church. Keep us focused. Let us understand where we are. And we have many new people raising up here and coming in, and we have some of the young ones raising up. They could truly know what we believe by the grace of God, laying that original foundation. No other foundation can be laid. No, we are built upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. Let's just worship him in this song. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love, till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove my Lord. That's the greatest power there is in the church. Divine love. Because love is God. The prophet said, this is the secret behind my ministry. Amen. All the great things, he said, is because of love. Paul tells us knowledge will pass away. Tongues will cease. But love will never fail. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Because God's love to us. Who could bring a clean thing out of the unclean? This evening Job cried out. He looked at himself, man born of a woman. We are supposed to come by the spoken word, friend. Think of that. But look what it took to get us out of that unclean condition. It took the very Lamb of God coming, dying, offering himself completely, without reservation. It took the coming of the Holy Spirit to make us partakers of the divine nature, to take away the old nature, the uncircumcision from us, and make us circumcised. Make us a new creation by a new birth. Blessed be his wonderful name. I want to live. Let us sing that chorus. I want to give. It's only the new birth can make us live that way. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's only He Himself living in us could produce that life. I want to love. Love till the end. Just no more love. I could never, ever outlove my all. Lift your hands and sing again. I want to live. Is that a desire, painful desire in your heart? Or are you satisfied with just going along, going through the motions? But if you have come by that new birth and you are a new creation, then it's not you that live, but Christ that live in you. And He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the Son that pleased the Father in all things. He said, Father, I do those things that please you always. And I know you hear me always. I want to love. Love till yes, just no. I could never, ever outlove my Lord. Oh, there have been times when giving and loving brought pain. Think of it, how He loved us. He gave His life for us. He says, I have loved you, so you should love one another. And I promise, I would never let it happen again. Let it happen again. Oh, but I found out that loving was well worth the risk. And that even in losing, in losing, I'll win. Oh, that ain't nothing but the truth. I want to live. I purpose my heart to live. Not just any life, but the way He wants me to live. That's why He gives us His very own life. Oh, and He was the greatest giver. He gave Himself, friends. None of His possession but Himself. There's just no more to give. To love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove my Lord. Oh, Jesus showed us that only through dying we live. What a lesson, except the corner we'd fall in the ground and die. That only through dying, Paul said, I died daily so that Christ could live in Him. Amen. And He gave when it seemed there was no more to give. No more to give. Jesus loved when loving brought heartache and loss. While He stood there nailed on the cross, He forgave. Stephen, with his head being bashed in, he said, Father, lean on this sin against the charge. That's how it was in the Alpha, friends. They had that same life. They walked that same walk. They talked that same talk. We have seen the token and display in this hour. We've seen what it looks like. We see what it does. We see how it makes a man before God. And we have the same privilege to partake of that same life, to live by that same power, to walk in that same grace. There's just no more love I could never, ever of love. My Lord, oh, Jesus showed us that only through dying we live. What a lesson. Jesus showed us that only through dying we live. And he gave what it seems was no more to give Jesus love. When loving brought heartache and loss, he forgave. Even while they ridiculed him, while they humiliated him, while they laughed at him and scoffed at him, he didn't retaliate, he wasn't revengeful. He said, I forgive you. Oh my, lay aside all malice. Lay aside all these things, friends, and walk in humility. Open up your heart and let the love of Jesus Christ be shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. Purpose in your heart. You will love. You will forgive. Amen. No matter what it costs you. You will not hold no grudges. That's of the devil. That's enticing spirits. Poison acids of malice and wickedness that defile so many. Causing a root of bitterness to spring up and defile them. Grab them from the grace of God. I could never, ever outlove my Lord. Mercy rewrote my life. Oh, when he gave me that new birth. Mercy. He took me out from the unclean. He showed me the lamb and the dove. He brought circumcision at the end of the seventh age, in the same day. I've fallen. My soul cast down, but mercy causes me born by the incorruptible seed of the Son of Man, coming to the womb of a virgin bride. Sing it, amen. Mercy. He could have left you in that old nature. He could have left you as an organizational child. He could have left you there in that corrupt nature in the world. Hallelujah. Shut out from the presence of God. Oh. But he tore that veil, he rent it in twain. He slew the enmity. I should have fallen. My soul cast down, but mercy renewed my life. Oh, sing it one more time with a grateful heart, with joyful lips. To know you are Christian. The hearing is the love of God, not that you first loved me, but I first love you. Gave my son to be the propitiation for your sins. He took our place. He became us. That we might become him. So he was determined. He who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Despised the shame. Endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. My soul cast down. Today we are free, friends. Washed, cleansed, through my life. Let us bow our heads, close our eyes, as we look to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, when we think of the church, not just natural Eve, but spiritual Eve, was deceived. That white horse rider, those Nicolaitans, conquered the lady, conquered the church, sowed that seed of ruin into the church. She was beguiled just like Eve was beguiled. She couldn't bring forth the right child. They went forth and began to build organizations, just like Cain, who went forth and began to build cities. They brought forth a Nimrod who enslaved the whole world. And here we see they are bringing forth the very same thing in this hour. They try to go up into heaven by science and education, by technology, instead of coming by repentance. We see they are trying to do the very same thing, Father. They're trying to become one, saying that we all may be one. That was not the kind of one, Father. You came and said, behold, the people are one, and they all have one language. And you confounded them. We are so thankful, dear God, to see that you are God rich in mercy. God, you've come down and you've taken us out of this corruption. You caused us to escape the corruption of the world through lust. You made a way of escape for us, Lord. We will not be caught, trapped, doomed in that condition. But like it was in Egypt, you sent a prophet with a message. But a message of the blood of the slain lamb. Oh God, to remove all guilt and condemnation from our people. The lamb died in the place of the people. The blood of the lamb was on display. Their God to show that they were identified. The guilt was passed unto identified. The guilt was passed unto that lamb, and the righteousness of the lamb was passed upon them, and so you could not touch them. So it is again today, Father. Only this time, dear God, the very life of the lamb could come back upon us to give us a new birth, a new nature, Lord. Because it's a greater lamb than that animal lamb. It's a greater blood than that animal blood. It was the very Lamb of God himself. The very life of that Lamb can come back upon us who identify with that Lamb to show we have truly received that Lamb. And now we can put that life on display to show that covenant is in effect. Lord, we pray tonight that each one of us, dear God, would know, dear God, that we must have that life on display. Not just satisfied to come and attend a religious service, to join a church, to say that we belong to a system, but to go a little further than that, dear God, to be born into the family of God. To grow up into the very image of Jesus Christ. Come back into oneness with you, Lord. How we pray tonight, Father. That, Lord, this great revelation that you have sent in these last days. This great mystery of the original sin. That brings us, Lord, to the revelation of the true birth. This great revelation has come back to the church. the bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, we wouldn't have some corruptible birth, some perverted birth, some interpretation birth, some denominational birth, Lord, that shows our illegitimacy. But we'll have that true birth. We'll show our sonship. You're sure we are your children, dear God. May you grant it, Father. May you grant it tonight. We thank you for the message of the hour. We thank you for the waters of separation that can wash us clean. And truly we can become that glorious church. To show, dear God, that that second Eve fell. You told her to repent and get back to our first love. You promised that you're going to give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And here in the last days, we see she's going to be a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. It just shows, dear God, that you are here in this hour elevating the woman back to her rightful place. Bringing her back, dear God, where she can bring forth the right children. It is your grace, Father. It is your mercy. You put everything right through the shedding of your blood, through the sending of the Holy Spirit, through the bringing of a new birth. Everything outside of that will perish. It will be annihilated. We thank you that we could receive this which you have given, Father. Knowing there's nothing that we could do outside of what you have provided. Because this is your love that has provided this. This is what you gave to remedy what took place in the Garden of Eden. And God, you have sent it to us. We are now responsible to receive what you have given. Many, Lord, have not seen it in the light in which we have seen it. And so they will not be judged on the basis with which we are judged. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And you judge us by the measure of light that you have given unto us. God, may we understand that, Father. May we rise up to the responsibility that this world demands of us. But this is the condemnation, that light is come. But many choose darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But if we walk in the light as you are in the light, then the blood of your Son cleanses us from all sin, and we have fellowship one with the other. May we walk in this light. And may we find the blood of Jesus Christ effective to loose us from every molecule of sin. This great quickening power, the life of the blood, to quicken us who are dead in sins and trespasses and raise us up into heavenly places. The believer's position, where we can live, Father, in the victory that you have achieved for us. As we go tonight, may your presence go with us. Take us in peace and safety. Watch over us and take us safe into our homes, we ask. We commit each and every one into your mighty hands. Should you tarry and allow us life, bring us back on Sunday morning. That we can come into your house with great anticipations. Oh God, knowing that we are the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God, the Bible says. What manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us? Not that we will be, a prophet says. We are now. May this realization be made so real to each and every one as you bring this to pass in their lives. Now, Lord, we can be led by the Holy Spirit. But men are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Grant it, Father. We give you thanks and praise
for all your mercies and all your blessings. In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Shake your brother's hand, sister's hand, and God bless you. Amen. May I have a seat? Let's just sing this little song, number 363, as we go. In times of trouble and inward struggle, when it seems the end of the way, taking his direction, I'm longing for perfection. That's the heart of the believer, friends. You don't just come in the message, just sit down. Your call unto glorification. Your call to come to the full stature of Jesus Christ. That's the mark. The bride was not to bring forth church members. The bride was to fulfill the original promise that was given to Adam and Eve before the fall. Genesis 1:28 have never yet been fulfilled. It is to come to pass in this hour. That's why he says in the last days, there will be a super race. There will be a super church. That's why the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There has never been a church brought that forth. He's going to come for a people who will not go by the way of the grave, a people who will put on immortality and go in the rapture. There is going to be such a people upon the face of the earth. Amen. Seven ages died, but this one on the eighth day will not die. This is the eternal church age at the end of the seventh age. We shall not all sleep. Amen. This mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on corruption. Like Enoch, he was translated and did not see death. There is such a people in the last days, and seven thunders have come, amen, to go back to the tree of life. Take the book and eat it, amen. Now man can put forth his hand and eat from the tree of life again and live forever. Amen. That's a promise in these last days. A people coming forth, amen. A race of people like there has never been. He say, oh God, let me live to see it. A planted seed for that. Amen. Lord, let me live to see it. A race of people in the last days. Astronauts, eagles that'll take a flight in this hour. Amen. Spiritual astronauts, you leap over a troop and jump over a wall. Something is breaking. A man caught a vision. Heard a voice of the prophet saying, Shalom. Just like Abraham, they're in search of another land, a fake civilization. Glory be to God in the highest. Where this bride is going to walk, friends. Oh, my invisible union. God the creator. Amen. In man, which is his church now. He that is in you, he that is in you, them sons that can speak an atmosphere, supernatural atmosphere, walking in a world of perfection, the messiahs of the last days, he called them. Amen. Glory be to God. Jesus. Oh, my prisoners, that God will find preeminences again. Have the oversight and the leading. Man who refused God leadership to follow the woman, the church, and turn the thing into death, will come back and follow the Creator again in the last days. When this message comes, when the seventh seal bring a union between God and man, man will follow God again and leave the church. Come out of her, my people, and they'll follow him back into immortality, back into rapturing grace. That's the message as clear as I can see it, as clear as I understand it, amen. In this hour, these things is showing us where we are coming back, why we had to leave the church, why we had to come back to the world, why the church couldn't bring the sons, why the world has to bring the sons in the last days by the spoken word. Man, let me say this here. I didn't say this, I can say it here. Adam, with the Lamb Book of Life, was in the back part of God's mind. And down to seven church ages, God had been revealing a seal open, a mystery unfold, and a man on earth was catching the mystery. And when he spoke the elect into existence in that age. and they come up and they manifested the part of the word they were. You get that? And the church came from the feet all over to the head. Because the New Testament, the bride, is the Lamb's Book of Life. And she's formed through seven church ages by seven mysteries. And so Adam would have catched the family of God. Because God had never taught a new thought. Every one of them was there. Isaiah come by sex. Jeremiah come by sex. Yet God had known him before he was in his mother's womb. Amen. David come by sex. Yet God had known him before he was in his mother's womb. Noah come by sex. Enoch come by sex. Yet God knew him before he was in the mother's womb. A man that mischief the pyramid. A man that could build the ark and go above the world and come back. A man that could slay the child. It was all there. And Adam would have catched them and bring them as word. He'd have bring them as word by the spoken word. Amen. And friends, in the last days, when that seventh seal opens, they are going to bring the fullness. And our prophet, he was speaking. And he was speaking. He said, when God said, let there be in Genesis, how did God plant the earth? By his spoken word. Then God said, I will speak to them by a prophet. And the prophet said, and thus said the Lord, it shall be, it shall be, it shall be. And the word of the prophet went out and it had to come to pass. 712 years, Isaiah would manifested in Mary bringing forth Christ. Manifested in John coming forth. Why? It was God speaking by a prophet. Still say, and it shall be, and it shall be. And that word couldn't fail. And so it is here in a church. Out in St. Vincent, out in Grenada, they never existed. Had nothing called Bright Church there. Had that kind of doctrine was never there in the country, never preached. Had nobody to believe that kind of doctrine. Everybody believed a Methodist doctrine, and a Baptist doctrine, and a Jehovah's doctrine, and a Seventh-day Adventist doctrine. Nobody could believe that kind of doctrine. And then God began to speak. And speak. And speak. And the same way he said, and there shall be the seed of Lebanon. And there shall be a lamb. And there shall be a lion. And there shall be a dove. And it was coming into existence. So God began to speak. And they begin to come up. His Bible, his word begin to be made manifest. They begin to come to life. And it's forming, and it's growing, and it's taking shape. And now when you look at them, you say, they pass them before you say, what is that? You say, that's not a Methodist. That's not a Baptist. That looks like a Jew, that looks like the Alpha Bride. That's like the same kind of children. Don't have to be the bride in the last day. Thus saith the Lord. Why? Because you see characteristic. And you know what kind of word they come by. Was that how Adam named it? When you hear the talk, you say, but that word of my word. That's faith of my faith. Why? Because they know the position in the Bible. That's right. Show you each to right. So that God can bring his seed through his body. How many know the seed comes through the body to multiply and replenish? Angel led Peter, the sperm come to Peter. Angel led Philip, the sperm come to Philip. Angel led Paul, the sperm come to Paul. How are the churches raised up in the Alpha? Man, redeemed man, led by the angel. Holy Ghost filled man, led by the angel. And the mystery came out of his mouth and down came the Holy Ghost and called in his house. Is that the Bible? Oh, you see, I'm not making up that. You understand it. You understand it. You see, let me see if my children look like one of them. Why didn't you do that 20 years ago? Be tied up for babies. You wait until you become a man. When I become a man, then Papa said, I need a church over here. We're going to devote it. I need a church over here. We're going to go. And when you go in there, you can show them how to be like Jesus. Because they don't know. You're going to teach them. You're going to teach them who Jesus is. You have to show how to baptize. You have to show what the new birth is. You have to teach them what the name in the book is. Yeah, teach them what the life is.
Yeah, teach them everything. But they could be not birthed alone, they could be raised. Bearing and raising a virtuous woman. This church is a woman. If this church bring the wrong kind of children, something happened. But if she bring the right kind of children, then she fulfilled the commission. Then she fulfilled the commission. You understand the message? Yeah. The church have to be. There has to be a lady on board for the bride of Jesus Christ. The elect lady and her children. If this is part of that elected lady, she have children. You got what I'm saying? She have children. She ain't a barren woman. She has been good children. Because she was commissioned to multiply and replenish. Why? Because the weeds have overgrown the field. Baptist weeds, Methodist weeds, Jehovah's weeds, Seminary, Catholic weeds, Anglican weeds. But the field was for spring. So God had to plant again. So the seed had to come back. You realize if this seed gets contaminated or it loses strength, what's going to happen? That's why the word is going to say strong. That's why the word is going to say pure. That's why the word is going to say straight. Because that word is sent to bring a certain child. Certain kind of child. Certain kind of faith. Certain kind of virtue. Certain kind of knowledge. Pray a certain way. Study the word a certain way. Live a certain way. The word is sent to bring that child. When you see a child, you know the father of that child. Say God is the father of that child. When you see Jesus, you know that wasn't Joseph's son, right? Joseph and Mary know that he's dying this son. He said, that's the Holy Ghost child. That's the Holy Ghost child. What kind of child are you? You have to be the Holy Ghost child. Amen. O Lamb of God. The Lamb and the Dove. I love that. I love that. It took a lamb and a dove to bring your woman back to God, to cleanse her from her uncleanness of childbearing, and to bring back the lamb and the dove is the word and the spirit, friends. The lamb and the dove is what brought redemption for man. And the lamb took the book, and sometimes the other voice in the evening message loosed the Holy Spirit to raise a church up in the last days. The lamb and the dove. And then the children, they have the covenant sign. They are all circumcised. If you get uncircumcised, here's something wrong. Because the uncircumcised child shall be cut off. The uncircumcised child can't inherit no inheritance. Before they possess one inch, they all have to get circumcised. Is that correct? Sure. That's the Bible. You see that word? Oh, no matter which side you go, friends. We are walking in the original apostolic doctrine again. To walk in that apostolic life has to be here. Apostolic faith has to be here. Apostolic understanding and revelation has to be here. Otherwise, the heart and truth can't get turned back. Again. When it's being turned back, you walk in exactly where Paul and Peter walk. And when you walk there, there's no fear. You're walking in love. John said, that the children walk in love. They walk in the light. They don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. No denominational mind. It's out. It's gone. The mind of Christ comes in. Amen. You look in his face, he look in your face. He said, that's my son. He said, that's my papa. You say, Abba, Father. There's relationship between God. You look like him. You are a little one. He called himself Jehovah, which means he made a little one. The earth was to be filled with that. That is what is going to happen in this hour, friends. The bride, his Eden, his delight, will be filled with that kind. That's the kind she's going to be filled with. You walk in the bride, and say, there's a manifest son, there's a manifest son, there's a daughter of God, there's a daughter of God, my. You walk there, they in the middle of the light of the Father. Oh, there's something about it. There's an atmosphere. There's something that they're living. It's wonderful. O Lamb of God. Lamb of God.
sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me. Your precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb. He washed away all uncleanness. Let's sing it again, O Lamb of God. Let's come out Sunday morning with real expectations. May we find the Holy Spirit present, waiting for us as we come in that building. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh,
Lamb of God. Sweet Lamb, I love the Holy Lamb. Thank you.